You are listening to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. All right, welcome to episode 83 of the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. I am joined this week by Shauna Wright. What's going on, Shauna?
Nothing much. I'm really glad that it's the weekend and that there's nice weather, because it's my birthday next week.
Oh, sweet.
So we got to have some fun times.
Cool. I've been wanting to get Shauna on for a while. You're the last holdout from Bus Cow.
Yay! The best for last.
And you're also a member of Improv Asylum House Teams.
Yep. This is the second team I've been a part of, and it was the only thing I ever wanted to get. I just wanted to make it on House Teams, and now I'm here, so...
I think you were... I'm not sure. Don't let me put words in your mouth, but I think you kind of went through the same process where I did, where... Tried out a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah, like 6 times, yeah. And I missed a couple, so I really, it was like 8 runs, maybe?
Yeah, it's either 6 or 7, and I skipped a couple, because after a while, you do get a little dejected, and you're like,
yeah.
Maybe I need to figure something out before I try out again.
Actually, this is the second time, the audition before the first time I got on, which was the last run, I walked out there, and I thought to myself, okay, if I don't get on this time, then clearly I just don't have what they're looking for, and I'm going to make peace with that, and we're going to call it a day with House Teams for a while. And so I guess maybe because I didn't care as much, I wasn't as nervous.
That's how I got on. The first time I got on, I was kind of in that I don't really care mode. Like, I haven't made it all the other times. What's going to be different about this time? And that's the time I made it. I was surprised. When I think I saw you on the night of your first House Teams show, and your family was there, is that correct?
Not one of the first nights, but yeah, my parents drove out actually from Chicago with the dog.
Nice.
And they stayed for a whole week because how I started taking classes at Improv Asylum, my dad was visiting. This would have been fall of 2012. And I was like, I don't know. We went to Fenway, we took the tour, we went to Sam Adams, and I was like, I don't know what else to do with him. So I brought him to Improv Asylum because I thought he'd find it funny. And he said, oh, you could do that. And then 6 months later, I was taking classes. And they promised that if I ever got on House Teams, they would come see a show. They owed me because they have literally flown around the country to watch my sister run marathons. So this is at least far more entertaining and a lot shorter than that.
That's awesome. It's awesome to have a supportive family.
Yeah, it's... My parents are great, and the dog's great.
I was surprised that it was your first run. I don't know why. I just assumed you had been on before. I've always thought you were really good.
Thank you. A couple people had said that, too, and I think it's because I performed with Bus Cow, which has people that are on House Teams and have been on House Teams forever and now are on the NXT run. So it was just like, oh, you're part of that crew. Clearly you've been here before. I'm like, nah, I actually haven't.
Bus Cow's a super talented team. Everybody on the team is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And they're great people.
They're wonderful people. And that was part of the complex, was like, oh, God, what am I not doing that everybody else is? We all met, aside from Mary, we all were in level one together here at Improv Asylum, and it, like, just clicked. And we had this huge cast, this huge class, and we stayed together through the whole run. And so now we just get to play for fun.
That's awesome. And that, you don't see that a lot. Even with indie teams that seem to start in a level, they seem to kind of finish at their own terms.
Their own pace, yeah. Somebody couldn't make it because they had work or school. But for the most part, I think 80% of the class that started in level one, we were all in the same grad show together.
That's awesome.
So it was just like luck of the draw, I guess.
Do you want to take me through, you kind of give us the abbreviated version, but like, where you grew up and then, kind of how you got into comedy.
Yeah. So I grew up outside of Chicago, Northwest suburbs, Midwest, came out here for school and I went to Emerson College, which had a big theater program, which I did not major in. But I did theater all through like elementary school and high school.
Real quick, when you were in Chicago, because Chicago has a huge improv scene, were you aware of it? Or?
Not even a little bit. I left Chicago at 18, and I couldn't tell you anything about the city. You know, I have people that go visit. They're like, oh, what should I see? Where should I go? I, I got nothing. I got nothing. I don't know street names. I know, like, Millennium Park, and it's not called the Sears Tower anymore. So you're on your own.
It's not called the Sears Tower?
It's not the Sears Tower anymore. I don't remember what it is, but it's not the Sears Tower anymore. So, no, I never did improv. I think, like, once in high school, the drama teacher tried it out. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, but I didn't have access to it, because when you're 14, your parents aren't going to let you go into the big city by yourself, really. Right. And then I came out here for school. Theater kind of fell in the background, and how I kind of just fell into improv, because in 2013, my New Year's resolution was to do one totally new thing every month for myself. I was like, if I got to go by myself, so be it. Like, I don't care what people think.
I love this idea. How many months did you...
I did all 12 months. The only New Year's resolution I've ever kept. And I took a trapeze class at the Jordans in Reading.
Get out.
Yep. I took sword fighting, like fencing lessons.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it was, and it was all done financed by Groupon, because my thought was, well, if I hate it, I got it at half off. And they, Improv Asylum, had a Groupon deal for level one.
Were there any of the other things that you tried that you were like, I kind of like this, maybe I'll stick it out?
Fencing I did for a couple of months, but then, so I think fencing was my May thing, and then improv started in July, but they're both kind of expensive, and I couldn't really afford to do both at the same time, so I did fencing for a couple of months, and then I started doing the improv classes, and that was where my fun budget went instead.
A couple questions about fencing.
Okay.
Do you wear, like, a mesh mask?
Mm-hmm.
And you wear, like, body pads?
Yep, you put on an undergarment that protects the arm you hold your sword in, and then you put another, like, padded, quilted jacket on top of that that buckles through your legs and covers your arms, and then you have this mask that's, like, a hard mesh metal that protects your face.
And is it, like, a sword that has, like, a old-school... antenna type tip on
it? it's a long thin blade with a blunted end, and you are you put on, there's another layer when you actually are fighting, you put on, it's like a magnetic, not a magnetic, it's a metal vest essentially that you clip little magnets to that connects to the scoreboard, so then on the end of your sword is a magnet that if I touched your vest it would beep, and that's how you keep track.
That's cool. I didn't know there were advancements in fencing.
Oh, yeah, because there's no way to know if you were watching from afar if somebody actually got whacked or not. I can't remember the name, because there's two different styles of fencing and two different swords that go with it. And the one I did is the, like, pare, pare, thrust, thrust with the long one. And there's another one that looks more like a pirate sword, and you're just hacking at each other. And so it's, you run at each other, you hit each other, you back up, and that's the whole bit.
It's weird that pirates had their own type of swords.
That's because pirates and horseback riders had different swords because of the motion. You're not standing still, and you need to be able to maneuver in different ways.
They like the curves.
The curved swords. Mm-hmm.
Two more fencing questions. Do you say on guard?
Yeah, you do. You
that's
say
how
on
you
guard.
Start a match?
Yeah, okay. You have to walk up to each other, and there's like a certain way you're supposed to stand, and you essentially salute each other, and it's a way to say, you know, I promise to fight with honor, you promise to fight with honor, let us duel to the death with honor, and you do, and then on guard means get ready, and then the referee yells fence, and then you're allowed to go.
All right, last question. Are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
Did you ever pretend to be left-handed for a long time?
Like Inigo Montoya?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't that good. It's a different sword. The handles are shaped differently. You're holding it with your right hand or your left hand.
That's just a baller move.
I know, to be able to switch. Oh, no, I'm knocking stuff over. To be able to switch, but I could barely do it with one hand, let alone. I wish. That'd be cool. Life skill number 42, ambidextrous fencing.
Well, if you ever get into a situation where you're attacked and your only option is a sword that's
but like, I'll be
readily
okay.
available. Yeah, it'll
well,
be fine.
It's funny. So this was 2013, so 2 years ago now, and I haven't done it since. But this wedding I'm going to in 2 weeks is a buddy of mine from high school who started competitive broadsword fighting. So, like, two-handed, huge blade. Yeah. You still wear a mask and padding, but it's just a different fighting style. And he knew I took fencing. He says, oh, don't worry. The table I'm putting you at has a couple of my broadsword fighting buddies and then some computer engineers. So you'll have plenty to talk about.
Nice.
Like, thanks, Doug.
That could be either fun or just a lot of sword fighting talk.
I feel like it's just going to evolve into a game of D&D, like, at the wedding. We're all just going to be sitting there, like...
My buddy that got married had a stand-up themed... Just for the tables at the reception, he had, like, stand-up comedians' names on the table, so you knew you were at, like, the Joan Rivers table.
Oh, yeah, that's the way, instead of table number 4.
Yeah, and he does stand-up. So I got to some table. Let's say it was the Joan Rivers table. I'm like, fucking Joan Rivers is going to be at this table? This is crazy.
This is awesome!
Yeah. I didn't get it at first.
I'm excited because this is the first wedding I'm going to as an adult that I got to plan for. I've been to 2 others in my adult life. One was my boyfriend's cousin wedding. It was just a small, middle of upstate New York, like 60 people, but it's all family. Okay. And then the other one was actually Joey Lopez's wedding. I was home at Christmas time in Chicago, and on Friday, he calls me and he's like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, I'm in Chicago. Why? He's like, do you want to come to my wedding? Some great aunt got sick and couldn't come.
When did Joey get married? Because I feel like Joey's been married the whole time I've known him.
He got married, it would have been December of 2013.
It's probably right before. I think I met him in February.
Yeah. So I called Southwest because that was what I was flying, and I moved my flight instead of coming in that night to that morning. Got picked up at the airport and drove to New Hampshire. I think Zach got invited and Bill, and so a couple of the other Bus Cow folks got to come along again. This, you know, somebody's aunt or whoever couldn't come. And I was panicking. I was like, oh, we have to get him a gift. That's what you do, right? When you're an adult and you go to weddings. And he had told us, no, don't worry about it. But we decided we would get a gift anyway. But it's in Nashua, New Hampshire, and you only have like an hour between the reception and the ceremony. We found a Native American art goods store. And purchased a vase that has
two. Were you driving by and like, that's
yeah, pretty much. It was like, okay, we got to get from the church to the hotel. We want to get a gift and we want it to be something stupid. What's around here? It's like, well, there's a bookstore. There's an antique shop. There's like a flea market. Native American gifts pulling a Yui in the middle of the street. And we bought them a vase that has two spigots, so it's supposed to be like, oh, two families becoming one. And I was like, that's very sweet. It's cute. Let's do that. We also purchased a turtle rattle, which is a turtle shell filled with, like, dried corn that they stick on the end of a stick for fertility purposes.
Nice.
And cleansing your home for the spirits of your ancestors, which we wrapped in a god-awful cardboard box and then put on the table with all the lovely presents.
Oh, that's awesome. I was telling Joey this the other day, and I'm really impressed by his development, because I met him probably February of 2014, and I just met him because he was friends with Bill Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't on house teams yet, and I think Eagle Come and Buscow just started performing at, like, the Y
show. Yeah, the Y was our first show. That Y Comedy Night was our first show.
And he was always good. But in the span, that span of time,
yeah,
he's gone from being the first one out of...
Zach was the first one on house teams. But yeah, Joey made it very clear at the very beginning, like, this is what he wants to do. And so come hell or high water, it was going to happen.
So he made house teams. Now he's on the NXT cast. Mm-hmm. Even when on my first run of house teams, he was on my team. And he was just like a natural leader. And he just had it in him. Like, and you could see it, the confidence. And I even asked him about it, because that's something I lack a lot of times on stage.
It's like the balls to go for it.
Yeah, and he just exudes confidence in his character. Even just in everyday life, he comes across as a confident guy, which
is just a run of bits, really. No, and that's kind of the awesome part of falling into this team, is all of these people are incredibly confident and incredibly talented, which made me then feel like the schmuck in the corner, like, I'm not contributing, they all hate me, because that's a deep personal fear I have, that I'm not good enough.
I think we all have that.
And because, yeah, it's like, you know, these people all walk into a room and are willing to lay it all on the table and just go for it. who cares what anybody else says or thinks.
Did you try it for IB Generals?
I did. I did not get a callback, which is fine. Again, all I ever wanted was house teams. And if all I ever get is house teams, I'm totally fine with that.
I feel the same way. Let's talk about house teams for a little bit. I found it to be an awesome experience. I just started my third run. You started yours second, correct? Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot just from the coaching and getting out there for your slot and learning what works and what doesn't. And you have a lot less room to fuck up.
There's a paying audience sitting there looking at you. Yeah, what I really liked about it and what I was actually really grateful for, as much as I love Buscow and I love those guys to death, getting the chance to play with other people, because what I found is I have fallen into not a pattern, but like, oh, I know Joey can do this. I know Bill is going to do this. I know Ryan can do this. And so I will just fill in the gaps in between those things. And so getting to be with new people, that some of which I'd never met before, brand new, been on house teams for however many times, you don't get to do that. You have to kind of like go back to early stages of when you were learning improv and just go for it, because you don't know what everybody else will do.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot.
I found myself doing stuff that, like, at a smaller show, I might be like, yeah, this seems like it might not go well or something. And just committing 100% to it and just like, fuck it, I'm doing this now.
I open my mouth, I'm finishing my sentence.
And it's been fun, though. I feel like I've developed a lot just being on house teams and mm-hmm. through the coaching.
I think it's nice, too, having different coaches.
Yeah.
It is nice to have the same coach because you build a rapport and they kind of get to see where you came from and where you're at now. But I had Jeremy for my last run, who has very pointed feedback and will not pull any punches, which is awesome.
Yeah,
I want to know when I suck and how not to suck. And this run I have Tony. And
he's kind of the same.
Yeah, but it's a totally different approach to it. Like, I don't know, I mean, it's just an energy thing with, like, how they go about it. But I like that because it gives you – sometimes you have to hear the same thing three times – but differently.
Yeah.
For it to sink in.
You also do Studio 40.
Mm-hmm.
You've had, like, this is your third run of that?
So I don't think they know that. So the producers of Studio 40 switched halfway through our second run, which, first off, getting Studio 40 the first time was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And then getting to come back a second time was like, holy shit, this is amazing. They switched producers halfway through the second run, and I don't think they knew that that was our second run, because what they did was teams already in the rotation didn't have to audition again because they wanted to open up the spots for more teams to come in. We just had to say, yes, we'd like to be considered for another run. And when we got invited back, none of us thought it would happen. They're like, no way they're going to let us back for a third time. It's just not going to happen. And we did. And I was talking with producers a couple weeks ago, and it dawned on me, like, they don't know. They don't know this is our third run. We're not going to tell them.
Yeah, just keep going.
Like, yeah, this is our. I'll keep saying it's our second run for the next 9 months.
That's going to be a cool space. It must be cool just to have this place to perform almost every Friday.
Yeah, it ends up being like two, sometimes three Fridays a month because of the rotating schedule. And it's nice to have that to work for. Like, you know, as a team, we're putting on a show to people similar to house teams that paid to be there, and you want to deliver.
Right.
And having that kind of light at the end of the tunnel gives you a reason to show up at rehearsal and gives you a reason to be on time. And
do you have a coach?
We do. His name is Ben Walsh.
It's the Herald
team. Yeah, he's the Herald guy over at IB. He just got named, like, IB Employee of the Month.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's been our coach. We have a habit of running coaches out of the city.
I've heard this.
Yeah, so yeah. He's been our coach since February, which was when Kelly left, Kelly Dooley, because Kelly was our coach for a long time before Matt Catanzano left, who was our coach for a while when Kylie left, who was our coach for a while after Patty left. We have literally run like all the main stage IAers out of town. Hopefully Ben stays.
And then you had a grad show recently, pretty recently.
October, long enough.
It seems
a lot like, more closely than that. But yeah, so we had our grad show in October.
It was a really good grad show.
Thank you. It was a blast.
You played Sean White.
I did play Sean White. That's Steph Simon, who was in our grad show, came up to me one day somewhere early on in the process, and she was like, okay, I don't want to offend you, but I was like, what is wrong, Steph? Like, what did you do? Would you be okay being Sean White? I'm like, yeah, of course. I used to joke, I was like, oh man, I wish I snowboarded, and then I could like be almost Sean White.
Don't take this the wrong way, but if like Sean White was like talking to somebody and he had to make up like a female name off the top of his head.
Yeah, Sean White would probably be it, and we have exactly the same hair. I've looked at pictures, it even had curls in the same way. And actually, I have been called Shauna White on more than one occasion. Like just people mishearing or writing it down wrong. So yeah, we're second cousins twice removed. Totally.
So we kind of went all out of order.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. It's improv, man. Follow the thread.
Where you are now, I think you've accomplished a lot, in your time in improv. You know, House Team, Studio 40. Those are all impressive, and you're on a really good indie team. How do you feel, and where do you ultimately want to end up improv-wise?
So it's like that question you get in interviews, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'm like, well, 5 years ago, here, trying to get this job. Like I said, House Teams was as far as I ever wanted to go, and I think the people on NXT are amazing, and obviously the people on main stage are amazing. But I do this because it's fun, and I like to do it because it's fun and it's different and it's not my normal life.
Right.
And, it was the same reason why when I went to Emerson, everybody assumed I was going for theater because I was a big theater kid in high school. And I said, no, I do theater because it's fun. And if my paycheck depended on it, I don't think it would be fun anymore. I don't know, you know, like it'd be cool to be on a resident cast over at IB. I got to take a annoyance intensive in New York last fall, which was so fun and just very cool to see a very different style.
I think I've been talking to Pam Victor, who wrote the TJ and Dave book, mm-hmm. and she runs it's called The Zen of Improv, or I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong, but it's basically the TJ and Dave style she teaches, and she might be doing it in intensive around here, which I think
I would totally do that. I think that would be the next thing. It's like, I lived in Chicago. I never even saw a Second City show. I think I asked for tickets for Christmas one year. I didn't get any. Or Improv Olympics or UCB or do more of the annoyance or just get exposed to different styles and just see how people approach it. That's kind of what I would like to do.
Cool. So I was driving in today, and
we share the same thing.
It drives me crazy. This is just a random thought. When there's so much traffic, regardless of what lane you're in, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But you see this one car that's trying to zip in
and out,
zip in and out, and it's cutting people off and just aggressive. Like, in 5 minutes go by, and you've moved 30 feet, and you're just, you know, three lanes over from that car.
Yeah.
Like, you're wasting a lot of time
and effort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It took me probably 10 minutes to go around a rotary today, leaving to get here because of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, or when you're in traffic and somebody's like pissed that you're not going fast enough and then you end up at the same red light, like, you feel good about yourself. My dad was a driver ed teacher for 40 years. And so he's the one that taught me how to drive.
Was that good or bad?
It was good, actually. Yeah. It means so I'm a way better driver than all my friends were because I had to pass his tests before I was allowed to take the state exam. He would make me, you know how when you sit in the left turn lane, you get the left turn arrow? I would have to stop before the box so that I wouldn't get the arrow in rush hour there's a lot of people pissed at you when you do that.
Right.
And I was embarrassed, right? I'm sitting there, and there's, you know, 10 cars behind me honking. I'm like, Dad, can we just pull up? He's like, no. Turning when there's an arrow doesn't help you. You need to learn how to turn when there's not an arrow and not die. They can deal with it. So I that also led to this weird patience level with traffic situations.
That was my other thought today about traffic is it, I see it a lot in Boston, and I film in the Midwest, and I did a move like this, and they were horrified by it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, say you're in just traffic going in both directions, and you need to take a left across, cut across the other lane. You might be at or stopped at a red light.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will turn their car as if to block the
oncoming
traffic. At that point, either go or don't go, but you standing there either, like, daring me to either crash into you or let you go, like,
yeah.
What do you think I'm going
to
do?
Yeah, that's a no, but that's a super New England thing, because when my parents come to visit, I've become a New England driver with this, like, slightly Midwestern sensibility. Like, no, it's okay, you can go, don't worry about it. And my dad can't handle it, because we were driving, and I was like, okay, Dad, you need to go left. Like, you have one block, you have to get over. So he puts on his blinker. No one's letting him over.
Yeah.
And then, Dad, you're just going to have to go for it. You're just going to have to go for it. Well, no, they're going to hit me. Like, they're not going to hit you. You just have to go for it. Same thing, right? If you just turn your car,
yeah,
it's like, all right, stick in the ground. I'll let you go. And so we missed our turn and ended up stuck in a bunch of one-ways.
Do you want to try a improvised thing real quick?
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to put my iPod on shuffle. Whatever the next song title is would be the name of the movie we're going to make
up. We're just going to react and act out a movie sequence?
Yeah. So I'll just ask you to, once we get the title, mm-hmm. to give like a brief
synopsis
of the movie, and then we'll just do a quick two-person scene out of it. All right, here we go. Shuffle. All right, the song is Little Things.
Little Things?
Yeah.
Little Things is the story of a small Midwestern farming town that's been overrun by radioactive gophers because the power treatment plant upriver had a leak in it. Little Things.
Hey, Ma?
Yes, Jeffrey?
I don't want to go to school today.
Jeffrey, you have a math test you're trying to get out of again.
No, I studied. I'm doing good in school this year. You saw my report card.
Mm-hmm. B minuses, almost all the way.
That's the best I'm ever going to do. Mm. I'll be honest.
No.
It's every time I get halfway to school, all these radioactive gophers just come out of the sewers and attack me.
Jeffrey, that is the silliest excuse I've ever heard for somebody wanting to play hooky.
It's not, Mom. I'm going to lift up my shirt and show you this radioactive scratch I have.
Oh, my goodness! You're glowing green!
Yes.
Jeffrey, have you told anybody else in town about this?
No, just you, Mom.
Oh, no, we're 10 miles outside. No one in the city's even going to know what's happening. Jeffrey, we gotta get this down.
All right, let's fire up the motorcycle and sidecar.
Yeah, get in the sidecar, Jeffrey. You don't have your driver's license yet.
All right, fine, Mom.
Don't forget the shotguns. Your dad and Miss Ed never leave home without it.
Let's go see the sheriff.
Really? Cut to that.
Sheriff.
What is it, Jeffrey?
Let me cut to the chase. I'm gonna lift up my shirt.
Oh, my God, you're glowing green. What the hell happened to you, son?
Radioactive possums. Is it possums?
Jeffrey, it's gophers. It's gophers. They're coming up from under the ground. Possums only come out at night. Radioactive gophers.
Now, Jeffrey, I've had many boys come into this office and tell tall tales, but that has got to be the tallest.
I'm telling you the truth, but there's something I didn't tell my mother.
Jeffrey, you lied to me.
No, I told you the truth. But they seem to respond to me. They think I'm the king.
You're the king gopher?
That's what they think.
How on earth would you know that?
They made a little crown and put it on my head.
All right, Jeffrey. Now, my son likes to tell tall tales.
No,
but
here it is, Mom. I'm taking it out of my pocket. It's the gopher
crown.
Oh,
my God!
What do we need to do to save the town, Sheriff?
Can you communicate with him telepathically?
I could just talk to them. They seem to understand me when I talk.
Well, goddamn it, boy, then why didn't you just deal with that earlier then? Why you gotta be bothering me?
I don't know what to say to them.
Jeffrey, you are a B-minus student at Middlebrook Elementary School. You are smarter than a gopher.
all right, I'm going to try to do a Pied Piper-like situation and lead them to the sewers.
Well, bring the shotgun with you just in case.
Okay, here I go. Drive me to the...
Get in the sidecar, Jeffrey. You still don't have your driver's
license. All right.
Oh, hell, chemical things.
They seem to have learned to talk, Mom, since the last time I seen them.
Well, it makes sense. They are radioactive. Those things evolve faster than normal.
Hey, gophers.
Lord King of the Gophers.
Would you mind getting in a line for me and closing your eyes?
Sure. Line up. The Gopher King wishes to bestow upon us his infinite wisdom.
Hey, guys, I'm real sorry about this.
Jeffrey, no! Jeffrey, wait a minute. No, we could...
Oh, this green blood flying everywhere.
Jeffrey, we didn't think this through. We could have done something with talking gophers.
Damn it, Mom.
Well, that's fine. You're only a B-minus student, not an A-minus.
That's a good point. Well, this problem seems to have been resolved. Let's go home and have ice cream.
Load up the sidecar! Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. All
right. Right, and that is the B-movie of Little Things, the Attack of the Gophers on Middlebrook, Iowa. Tune in next week for slightly bigger things when... What do they call them? Snapping turtles in Maine.
I remember, I think I was like, that was a Bush song. I remember I was at my cousin's wedding. I was underage, but I was like shit-faced after the wedding.
Yeah, like you do at weddings. there better be an open bar at this wedding in D.C.
So after the reception, we all went out to a bar. This was in Missouri, so I...
Oh, so no one cared.
Yeah. So... I was just hammered, and I was, like, jamming up to the song, like, singing along, which is not my personality type, unless I'm really hammered. And,
In vino veritas, in vino veritas.
My cousin's like, come out with me. I want to show you something outside. I'm like, okay. And then she's like, get in the car. I'm like, I'm taking you home. I'm like, no, I'm going back in the bar. She's like, you are not going back in the bar. I don't know. That Bush song reminds me of that.
So another friend of mine is getting married in March, and she's getting married in New Orleans because that's where she lives now, and they're having a crawfish boil the night before the wedding. So I'm very excited to like experience these different. There will certainly be a lot of booze at that wedding. They're planning a hangover brunch on Sunday. It's already in the books. It's in the wedding itinerary.
I went to New Orleans last year after I quit drinking. Great idea. Yeah. The people we were staying with are like,
why are you here?
Yeah, exactly. But I did get to have the seafood and stuff.
I made the mistake of going to New Orleans on my 21st birthday. Was
it Mardi Gras?
No, because my birthday's in June. My birthday's next week.
Oh, nice.
Long story short, I was supposed to go to Ireland. My boyfriend gave me mono. I couldn't go. United.
The kissing disease?
Yeah, the kissing disease. I'm pretty sure I got it the week we met, because 2 months later I had it. Oh, it was like I was hospitalized. It was bad. It was real bad. So I couldn't get a full refund, but I begged and pleaded, and United said, okay, we'll give you vouchers for the value. And so what I ended up doing was, it was my 21st birthday, and one of my really good friends had graduated from Emerson, and I said, okay, let's go to New Orleans. Like, my ticket will cover your ticket and mine, and my friend Kelsey, who now lives there, came along too. The problem was my flight was at, like, 6 in the morning, the day of my birthday, right? So at midnight, the day of my birthday, my friends back home take me out, and I have, like, 14 drinks in 4 hours, the last two of which were an extra dirty martini and a White Russian. Don't mix extra dirty martinis and White Russians. It's the one and only time I've gotten sick drinking. So I spent several hours in the O'Hare Airport dry heaving into a wastebasket, horribly hungover on the airplane, and then still violently hungover after I got into New Orleans, which had a layover in Dallas. Because I was trying to fly the cheap way. And then my friends got stuck in Pittsburgh because it was raining. It was a rough day. It was a really rough day.
There's nothing worse than flying and being
sick.
Over.
Just sick in any way, shape, or form. I had a cold once. My ear didn't unpop for a week.
Ugh,
like, sucks. Being sick on a plane is the single worst feeling ever. So hopefully this time when I go, I'm prepared. I know what's expected. I know how much I'm expected to drink. I'm going to have to, like, I'm going to have to practice and start the New Year's because I don't drink that much.
Start practicing drinking.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I have, in college, you know, in college you drink a lot. And so I had some pretty solid tolerance. And then I got out of college and I don't really like going to bars. They're just not my thing. And so I'll have like a drink, maybe two.
I'm curious. Like, I never plan to drink again, but I am curious what my tolerance is now, because I used to be able to, like, polish off a 30-pack in a day.
Yeah, I have a roommate that does that. We're a little worried about him.
I wonder, like, if a 6-pack would fuck me up at this point.
We probably would only need 2 or 3, because it's like anything, right? Your tolerance goes down. So I didn't drink in high school, and I was a good kid. I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs, I didn't run around. Get to college, and I'm like, I want to know what my limits are. And so the very first time I drank in college was with this friend who I went to New Orleans with. A lot of my stories involve her. And some Mass Maritime Academy boys who were visiting. Because Emerson was just a little fruit basket, so most of the boys were gay. And I've had very, very poor judgment mentioned, oh, I've never drank before. I don't know what my limit is. And then I did 6 shots of vodka in 15 minutes. And I sat down, and then I tried to stand up, and I couldn't. Didn't get sick, but it was a long night. Like, the world was tilted. Fast forward, come home to Christmas. I'm explaining this to some of my friends. Like, you did not do 6 shots in 15 minutes. I'm like, you want to bet?
They wanted to see it.
Not learned. Did 6 shots in 15 minutes. And then had to hold it together in front of my parents.
That's the best. it's awesome when you think you're pulling it off, and they're like,
I don't know if they knew. Maybe they knew, and they just didn't say anything. I don't know. I'm pretty good at momming up when I have to.
I used to get super chatty, like chattier than I ever normally am. Trying to cover the fact that I was drunk.
I got to spend a semester in the Netherlands where marijuana is readily available. So I get really smiley and really chatty. And I come home, and so I tried to downplay to my mom, right, how many illicit activities I did. I remember this, we were in Mexico Uno in Palatine, Illinois, and my mom drops the bomb, like, well, you know, your dad smokes, so maybe you guys should do that together. It's like a nice father-daughter bonding thing. And I, like, fell out of my chair, like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, you know, in the garage sometimes, he gets really smiley and really chatty.
You didn't
know? Oh, my God, no, I never knew. I didn't know what weed was when I was in high school.
Did you ever smoke with your dad?
No. God, no. I don't think I ever could.
It's weird. It can be weird smoking with people that you don't normally smoke with, even if they're not a parent or anything.
Just a person of authority? Like,
yeah.
I think he knows I know, and we've just agreed to never talk about it.
All right. So I think we'll wrap it up there. So you have house teams
mm-hmm.
every Tuesday. What's the name of your team this week?
So we are Glen Twisty. Tony does not agree with that, but we are Glen Twisty. I think he called us like 40 ounces to freedom or
40
something
ounces
like
to liberty.
That.
40 ounces of freedom is the sublime.
Okay, so it was based on that. So it was 40 ounces to liberty. We told him we are Glen Twisty, and he was like, no, you're not.
He just went for it on
so
his own.
So he introduced us as 40 ounces to liberty, and then James was like, nope, we're Glen Twisty. And then I heard him yell from the back of the theater, no, you're not! so we're Glen Twisty. Tuesdays at 8, right? Yes. And then Bus Cow is at Improv Asylum, Studio 40. Improv Boston. It's so confusing because Improv Boston is technically in Cambridge.
Yeah.
Studio 40 is run. Our next show is June 19th, but I will not be there because I'm going to that wedding in D.C.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Shauna.
Thanks, Tom.
And
super flattered.
Thank you for being here. And thanks for listening. Bye.